Wouldn't it be great if three idiots picked apart each episode of your favorite podcast?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if we discussed the newest episode, ongoing theories, and predictions for what comes next?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if they didn't ruin the podcast at all and kept everything spoiler-free?
We don't do that. You've been warned.
Welcome to We Do That, a Taz Fancast. I'm your co-host, Chris.
And I'm your co-host, back to regular, not, you know, a Dungeon Mastery version, Jake.
And I'm your other co-host, Colin.
I felt like Colin's pause there was particularly derisive.
What about my pause? I'm not an animal anymore, Jake.
This week's episode, Jesus Christ, Let's Talk About Amnesty. It's a Lodger interlude.
It is. That, Chris, you've stolen my synopsis.
Well, that's except tough.
It's a Lodger interlude, and some shit happens. Ned talks to some guy. What's his name?
Boy Mosh.
And, Boy Mosh. Aubrey does some magic stuff, and Ned transforms. That's basically it. And then there's a giant cat.
You pretty much got that in one.
Oh, we should probably...
Yeah, this like we're finding new limits to technically the truth as we go through these synopses.
I want to start at the very beginning.
It's a good place. It's a
good place to start.
Lodger interlude.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Is Lodger spelled with an A or an E?
I don't care.
A.
I think it's an A.
A, yeah.
Okay.
L-O-D-G-A-R. Lodger.
Okay.
Lodger.
Pertaining to lodges.
Well, it's
that was my bit for the lunar episode. I'm done.
No, yeah, no, lunar. it's not because of lunar, it's because of
it is for me.
No, I think that's just how you
I mean if that's what you're talking about, but lodge has an E in it.
Well yeah, but like a lodger is someone who lodges.
Right, a lodger, lodjar,
yeah,
is
of or pertaining to lodges.
Right. Okay, why is lodge different than ledge? Like,
what?
There's the E's ledger at the front with an E-R, it's not ledjar with an A-R.
Because the E's at the front.
But there's another E.
We're not talking about that E.
Yeah, what?
There's no such thing as a ledger interlude yet. That'd be stupid. Who would want to talk about pertaining to books?
Okay.
I'm an accountant.
Yeah.
So it's not like a ledger interlude. It's like a ledger go to work every day.
But
so
how about every this? Every time I take a break at work, I'm going to say it's a ledger interlude and nobody will know what the fuck I'm talking about. Sorry, ledger interlude.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So how about that can be our next campaign, and we can run it parallel to their blue-collar comedy, Taz.
Okay, wait, what's ours? A ledger interlude?
Yeah, something about accountants and math.
Sounds good. Sounds very promising.
Yeah, definitely going to increase our listenership with that kind of content. Just real high-profile algebra coming at you in a fantasy world.
I just figured we weren't niche enough. So I figured good. Being a meta podcast that appeals to only a very select profession would just be our pocket.
Is there an accounting RPG we can play?
I think it's called Taxes. you just do them and pretend, because you have to pretend you're somebody else.
No, I think that's the wrong. I think you're going to get in trouble if you play Taxes that way.
But you don't actually...
Good.
All right, let's get back to Amnesty.
Please, I'm so tired, my brain hurts.
I don't remember which part happened first. I want to say it was Ned. It was definitely Ned.
Ned went first.
So Boy Mosh comes back.
Boyd, ends with a D.
Right.
Yeah, it does.
That's I'm Boyd.
Boy Ma. Oh my God, we've made a whole thing of this.
That's, I'm saying it's hard. I just imagine him as a wrestler, and it's Boy Mosh. Except
super
he's,
punk.
He's British, and
yeah,
he needs Ned to pull one more job for him.
Right.
You just have to have a little faith.
It's what's impressive is that he managed to go on parole at the perfect time for this story.
Really lined up good, didn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable.
So the setup is that Boyd Mosh has come back, cleared out the Cryptonomica as revenge, but then also needs more things.
Well, and was going to give the stuff in the Cryptonomica back, right?
Yeah, yeah, because Ned says, I need my stuff back. He goes, oh, you'll get it back once you steal some sculptures? Right.
Yes.
Yes.
From Mama.
Is it from Mama?
Yeah.
Is it?
They live in the... Well, they're in the lodge. So I guess whether or not they're Mama's possession is maybe debatable, but they're in the lodge.
Well, so sort of what I was wondering is it settled that Mama's the sculptor? Or maybe is it one of the Sylvain people that live there?
Maybe it is a Sylvain, and it's just like made of wood, like Groot.
That would be awesome if he's had to capture himself and take it outside the radius and it turned to like stone.
Whoa. Fun twist.
Yeah.
Like every gargoyle is a sylph that just the portal left or something.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Do you guys remember Gargoyles? How good was that
show?
The
animated TV series?
Yeah. Keith David, Goliath. Mm.
I remember it being pretty weird.
If by words you mean awesome.
Were those the gargoyles' names?
Which?
No, it wasn't Keith and David.
No, Keith David is the actor who played Goliath.
Oh, I thought that you had three gargoyles. You have Keith, you have David, and you have Goliath.
Goliath.
Like, what the hell?
No, they were named some highfalutin Victorian old Eden time sounding names like
Goliath.
And something else, yeah. There you go.
I think that would be a very dark turn for one of these podcasts, but it would be awesome.
It would be good. I'd be excited to hear that.
Especially if Mama is world famous, which means she's just been capturing sylphs and taking them from the portal until they turn to stone, and then selling them for a profit.
And then it would also make her, like, immortal-ish. Like, she would sort of be timeless, which is neat.
How? Explain.
I don't think so.
Well, because, like, what if it has always been Mama?
What? But, like, sculptors don't live forever.
No. But, like, what if every sculptor has been Mama?
All sculptors, ever.
Just, like, all the good ones.
Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Mama.
Thanks. Mama. It starts with an M.
Okay, you're onto something there.
Yeah. It's not the dumbest idea we've had, so give me this.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't fully understand Boyd Mosh's intentions, and I think that this subplot feels like an unnecessary diversion from what the monster hunting meat of this campaign should be.
Do you think Griffin is just trying to come up with a subplot for Ned? Because, like, there was that FBI agent who's still somewhere.
Jesus Christ.
But that never turned into anything. There's
the Flamebright pendant. There's, like, a supposed tension with this town council that has literally never
come up. There's the postal lady.
Yeah, what happened to the postal lady? I predicted, it feels like years ago, that she was going to be a pretty big figure in this campaign, and she's nowhere.
Not yet. She's probably Mama.
Oh, God. Yeah. Mama Michelangelo, postal ladies. Yeah, that's right. There it is.
It's Mama all the way down. I don't understand. not only do I not understand his motivation, I don't understand his tactics. Like, he's unwilling to rob from the lodge himself, but he's willing to rob from the Cryptonomica, which at the time had Ryan Gosling sleeping in it.
Right. Seems like bad press.
Yeah, what are you doing? This doesn't make sense.
And I wonder if some of the nonsense of it... So, when they opened up, Griffin seemed to lead in with saying that the vignettes we got in this episode had very much been, like, pre-discussed with the gang. And so I wonder if this is half a Griffin idea and half a Clint idea, and this is what happens when you don't let Griffin just do it. Like, it starts to maybe fall off the rails a little bit.
But Boyd Moshe's, like, motivation, it's 100% Griffin.
Right.
Well, and that's the other part that I really got kind of struck by, is because the only, like, this was really the first we heard about them not getting along, right? Because the other vignette that we got started their friendship and camaraderie.
Yeah.
And then suddenly Ned's all, oh, well, you ruined my life. Yeah, and like there seemed like, sure, that one job went bad, but it just seems like a big leap to not have given us any other details.
Well, and I agree, and I could see Boy Mosh being upset because he spent, you know,
was left behind, went to prison, sort of.
Yeah, he spent however Deus Ex years in prison until he got released at the perfect time. And so, like, I can see him being, but he shows up and Ned's upset at him.
Yeah.
You ruined my life by not dying in that crash.
Well, I think what Clint is driving at is he ruined Ned's life because they forced, like, his poor planning forced him to kill Aubrey's parents in a fire, sort of, kinda. Indirectly. I think that's what they're driving at.
This is bad. Also, how did Ned's wreck of a car fetch him, like, a food truck?
It's a great question.
Like, that shit's expensive.
I guess so. I did just watch the movie Chef, and he got a food truck for free from his ex-wife's ex-husband. So maybe they're just kind of around, and you gotta just work at it a little bit.
Are you talking about ex-wives and ex-husbands, or food trucks?
I mean, all of the above. You know, just keep building relationships until someone gives you a food truck.
That's fair. That may be true. And in this case,
it's like, let's make a deal. Let's see if I can get this paperclip.
Right, yeah. It's all the barter economy.
I'm sorry, Jake. Can I see the paperclip? That's okay, that's a stapler.
So cool.
So first you gotta
trade the paperclip, guys.
You've got to trade that into a paperclip.
Yeah, you got to go down to get back up again.
I don't know. It just seems like he just upgraded his. He upgraded his shit just from a car to this badass mobile rolling unit.
It does seem very, very cool.
With security shit on it, and like, what?
Yeah.
And a crepe?
Crepes by Monica.
Now, I really wanted to be there to watch Chris's face as Clint said that, because that sounded like some Jake and Colin bullshit. So.
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. So I'm struggling with net. I'm struggling with so many things in this. But I think I'm going to lead with, I'm very excited about their new mobile command center. Agreed. I think it's going to be super cool, and I'm curious to see what this mechanic is like, because if the game has it already written in, I'm hoping they'll stay true to that, and I'll hoping that just keeps it from being more ridiculous than it already is.
Well, and I think it's one of those things, like, he took away one of the only points of this character class that Clint is playing, right? You get driver. A vehicle.
Yeah.
And so maybe like that, when that was the hard choice Clint had to make, back when he had to make success or whatever, like, was that really the hard choice? Because he got a new vehicle that seems better suited for what they're doing.
Yeah, like, it does seem to be a like, very short-term consequence.
Yeah, I guess that's part of what I've been struggling with as this is starting to go longer, is for something that is supposed to be a little more grounded in reality, and our characters, you know, they have lower health pools, the idea is that wounds hurt more, and these kind of things. You know, it's supposed to be, you know, I think playing it out in the long term is hurting the story. Like, this system.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's the system or the application of the system, but, like, not having a set thing for how you... Not having a defined system for how you regain hit points, for instance. Like, there's no established long rest or short rest or something like that. Like, it does... It seems to have removed a lot of the tension, because even when stuff goes bad, it doesn't seem to go very bad. And that might be because the story is driving the system instead of the system driving the story. Like they already have the story to tell, right? Like,
yeah.
They know what's going to happen. Well, they may not know, but I think Griffin pretty much knows what's going to happen.
Agreed.
It seems like Griffin definitely has this mapped out in terms of plot points. He just doesn't know how long it's going to take to get there.
Oh, like 2 or 3 years for sure.
He said they're halfway, he thinks, so.
Yeah. He also said...
That turns out being.
He also said Stolen Sentry would be a, you know, 2-episode thing.
Yeah, that's funny.
He's not real good at estimating time.
I want to get farther into this, and I wonder if maybe we can step back, and instead of talking about Aubrey's and Duck's things independently, maybe we could talk a little bit about how they're setting up the rest of this. Specifically, yeah. I think... Griffin made some comments about how he was feeling it was much more freeform than it had been previously. And I know that I have opinions on that statement.
What would those feelings be?
Well, I think I'm wondering if it feels much more structured to me than Balanced did. And even to a certain extent, like more structured than Dust did. And I wonder if it just feels when they're playing it a little more loosey-goosey, because in the moment, the player characters have some freedom to sort of make choices, and those choices are a little more haphazard than they have been. But I feel like the outcomes in this campaign are much more scripted. Like, yeah. The path that they're going on is very much set, and there's just little fun diversions when they get to use a jetpack or something.
Yeah, I think I would largely agree with that assessment. I feel like maybe the system is more open, more fluid.
I think the system absolutely is. I think it's designed to be very much up to interpretation.
Right, right, which I think they're doing, and that's why it feels more freeform, because... You know, Clint and Travis and Justin get to have a little bit more say of who's filling out the world and what it's like and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But I feel the exact same way, that it's not, the story is less freeform than Balance. And I think, and we've discussed this before, I think having constraints on the system that you can push up against is actually a good thing, versus having a freeform system where your constraints are your story. Like, there are things that no longer make sense in the context of the system. Or in a good system, because it's serving the story before it's the system. So I feel like I wish they had a stricter system that they had to work around or work within.
I think that, or if the loosey-goosey nature of sort of applying tags and adjectives to things actually had consequences outside of the moment. Because I think they could do a lot of cool stuff with making choices and having consequences, but Colin, as you pointed out, like, if Ned has to sacrifice his car, then he should lose the vehicle, not just get a cool new truck later.
Yeah,
and I think that would be more in line with what I think the system is meant to do. Hard choices, real consequences, and a very tangible and smaller outcome, but that is meaningful to the character.
Yeah.
But, I mean, should, and maybe this goes back on Griffin, is like, should your hard choice ever be to remove the defining characteristic of a class somebody is playing? Like, if you were to, in balance, if you were to take magic, I guess he did take magic away from Merle at one point, but if you were to take magic away from a wizard, like, okay, what am I supposed to do? That's my entire character, is based on being a magic user.
Yeah, but I think play that out. Like, that bad.
And I think that's a place where vehicle isn't the only thing about the crooked. Right? Like,
is that what he is? I thought he was a driver or something.
No.
Or is that part of the crooked?
Yeah.
Okay.
Driver is one of, like, vehicle is one of the things he chose as part of that character. That's not
his... then I'm fine with it. Yeah,
but yeah, no, I agree. And so I think that's I think that making you make a choice that is defining of your character, it can be really interesting. And so I think, like, that's a really great example to look at. I'm really excited to see how Justin and Duck are going to evolve with this sort of character change.
Yeah.
Yeah, agree. So when I first heard that, I was really annoyed. I was like, what the hell? You can't just, the same thing, you can't strip away, especially because the last episode, I don't think, said he lost his powers. It's just that Minerva disappeared, as I recall. But the fact that they transitioned him from one class to a different class, like, okay, it may not be within the system, but it's not these guys, it's not Griffin and Justin coming up with a fake new rule set to try and make it work. It's they're just moving to a new rule set within the system that now I'm actually really looking forward to it. It could be very interesting.
I think the description of the way that this archetype works sounds so cool as an opportunity for Justin to do his thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm most excited about, is for those moments where Duck thinks he is still the chosen and acts in one way that is now completely opposite to the way his character works. Like, I think there's going to be some really interesting character moments that happen. And, yes, I think that his abilities are a lot of fun, and I'm very much looking forward to some Shaggy-inspired, you know, or
run away,
or Xander-inspired running around.
Point of order, so Leo was a chosen before this.
Yes.
Any of you guys a little confused that they referred to themselves as, like, their archetype? Like, oh, I'm a chosen. Like, what? Like, if you are the chosen one, maybe that's how you see yourself. I was chosen by fate. But it seems weird to say, like, oh, I was the chosen one, but I'm not anymore. And now you're the chosen. Like, it seems weird for that to be a plural thing.
I don't think it's that weird.
It didn't, the conceit of it bothered me a little bit, just in terms of, like, just timeline-wise, it doesn't entirely make sense, because when Leo would have been chosen would have been when, based on their ages, I think, when Duck was, like, a teen or early childhood, perhaps, but I think it would have lined up with when he first saw Minerva, so then there would have been two of them, which seems to go against the thing.
Yeah, it seems like one of those things where the name of the archetype is very useful for discussions outside the game, that sort of seamlessly made its way into the internal game discussions, which felt a little jarring for me because, you know, it's not like don't know. It just seems weird to me because these, the way they set up these archetypes, you know, it's not a race and a class or anything. It's, this is just your archetype. And so to identify right. as that.
But I do think it is the verbiage that Minerva used. So they would have both maybe latched onto that.
And I don't recall what Minerva has ever said, so that could be. you could be 100% right, in which case, you know, that's fine. It makes sense. But like, if two of us were chosen for something and we got to come up with what we call ourselves, do you think we'd call ourselves the Chosen? That's so boring.
Yeah, I mean, that. I think that does fall kind of in line with our general creativity.
Well, no, maybe like Minerva's Men?
Oh, I don't like that.
Minermen?
Well, and the trick would be, like, you're only one. You'd be Minerva's Man, because you don't know about the other one.
Men-Nerva.
Man-Nova. Man-Nova? Man-Nerva? Man-Nerva. Man...
This Man is where Chris nervous. Wishes he could leave the country again. Welcome back.
Just, oh boy. Okay. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Okay, so let's give Aubrey a few minutes.
Yeah, because as excited as I am for Duck's new characters, and as I think probably frustrated as I am with whatever the fuck is going on in Ned's world, I just fully don't understand what Aubrey's... like shit is about. Like, she just keeps getting more powerful for reasons that I don't fully understand, with a magic that I don't fully understand, and then is now like the chosen one but for Sylvain or something. And then I don't understand.
Yeah, I
and if that lack of understanding was part of the story in a better way, I'd be with it. Right? But
yeah,
as much as she says, oh, I don't know what's going on, like, it's not treated in a deep enough way that makes me connect with it.
Right. So, and like, I feel like Travis is just... Go for it.
Nice. I like the silence.
Yeah, that's good.
So it feels like it is more a flaw in the storytelling, rather in the story writing, right? Like, if it was part of the story in a better way, I'm having trouble.
Yeah, but I think what I'm struggling with is it seems like Travis is playing this, that these big chunks of time that Griffin is bringing us forwards are obviously, to him, time that Aubrey is developing skills. But since we just kind of jump forwards, we're not getting any of that progression. It just is like, now she is really good at magic and can do things and cast fireballs, where before she couldn't, you know, like, yeah, could light her fingers on fire. And then also the sort of constraints have been lifted off of the types of magic she can do, which just seems like maybe overpowered, or maybe that's the point, and it's just Travis getting more comfortable with what sort of language Griffin wants him to use to be able to do magic, and it's just not being told that way.
Yeah, I don't remember much of what happened with Aubrey, because I, like, her, and this sort of goes back to what you said, Jake, is, like, her quest with, like, I don't find it that interesting. I'm not invested in it. I'm not connected to it in any way. You're right, Chris. Somehow, Janice or Jennifer or Janelle told her to ask the ground for power, and suddenly she can do stuff. Like, I don't know. It all seems very disconnected. And the whole trying to explain how something like magic works, like the, you know, sort of the ethereal nature of this mystical power, like trying to bring some sort of quasi-scientific explanation about the energy of the planet, like that doesn't resonate with me. That just seems stupid. Like, I don't. It's magic, right? It's not the midichlorians. It's not the. It's just magic.
Well, everybody, yeah.
Everybody knows what magic is.
Without less, like with less attempts to explain it.
Yeah.
And what I think also bothers me about when we do Aubrey's cutscenes is Aubrey's cutscenes always give us this window into Sylvain and that struggle there, and it constantly reminds me of all of these tensions that Griffin has attempted to put into place that then don't resolve in any way or feel like that feel very, very important for about 10 minutes and then are apparently not important anymore because we keep lurching back and forth from this hunt with an imminent danger to, oh, wait, now Sylvain is dying and I guess Aubrey needs to fix it or something. And then we lurch back to the hunt and that doesn't matter anymore. And oh, Mama's in trouble or Thacker's, you know, we need to fix Thacker. And then they're gone for a little while. And then suddenly we're back on the hunt and it just, what? I feel like we're lurching between these different tense points without actually getting any of these subplots.
Yeah.
Connected in some way.
Yeah. No, I'd agree.
And I mean, I don't think the hunt, except for as they serve to, you know, something to do, they don't really seem to connect to the larger story. You know, whereas in Balance, they were hunting for relics to destroy.
Yeah, like even if the monsters were, you know, a demonstration or an example of this furthering corruption, yeah. Rather than, well, here's a weird bear, and here's a water monster.
Yeah,
and maybe that's still coming, but I don't see it happening.
You know, and that's a place where, at the end of the mini arc, I was really excited because there was just enough of a thread out to be like, okay, here's more to explore. But it does feel some like Griffin got excited and left himself too many threads.
Yeah.
I think that gets back to, you know, this is a game system that seems really well situated to tell small stories. And if these small stories follow one after the other and like make a continuous long story, that's great. But it does seem to be struggling under the weight of a big story.
Yeah, and I think I am feeling that the discovery of Thacker and sort of some of those revelations should have been a turning point. And the fact that we had a whole nother hunt with the Goatmen seemed like an inappropriate pause to take. That if, well, you know, I think if Thacker arrived, that would have been a turning point, and then maybe they take this whole thing to Sylvain and start solving it, you know?
Yeah, and even, you know, I'll say, like, even during the goat hunt, like, there were some interactions with Thacker. But then, you know, you set up all these important pieces or things you claim are important, but then when you go back to a larger interlude, you don't do anything with them.
And we mentioned at the very beginning, like, Agent Stern, who was set up at the very beginning, is now nothing? Does he not matter anymore, or is it just not, have they not made the right choice to go see what he's doing? Yeah. I just don't understand.
Well, and I don't think the choice was ever, like, laid out cleanly ahead of them. And, I mean, it's not a complaint, but, like, Dr. Harris Bonkers is gone, more or less, in the care of Danny.
Right, yeah, just, like, Travis didn't want to make that central to his character anymore.
Which I agree with. That was a very annoying part of his character. Yeah.
I'm fine with it as a character choice. I'm annoyed with it as a player character choice to just sort of abandon a thing that you had made part of your identity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I guess, like, I don't know that it's the system can't handle big stories or just that they have tried to pile on so much stuff. Like, eventually, the threads got to start to connect and start to move forward. You can't just introduce all of these threads and leave them there.
Well, I think the system could definitely do it. I mean, if the whole system is sort of collecting clues and making a plan, each of these could be a smaller subset of that where you're getting a clue, and then when you go to do the big fight, you're no longer picking up clues about a monster, but you're picking up clues about this blight or whatever. And I think it would translate over, you know, Jake, I think, laid it out well, that you could actually take it that way. It just doesn't... It doesn't feel like Griffin is applying the rules of the system to the overarching plot that he's trying to get through. He's just doing it for the hunts, and then this other thing that he has planned exists outside of that.
Yeah, and there's sort of a question or sort of an issue that sort I don't know, it sort of bothers me of okay, so there's a planet-wide blight type thing going on in Sylvain. Unless there's like a big bad, how are you gonna?
What's that fight look like?
Yeah, I don't want an RPG where you fight, you know, global climate warming. Change. Like that sounds terrible.
Too real.
I don't want to do that. I want to, if I'm doing or listening to an RPG, I want you to go fight big monsters. I want you to, you know, take down evil wizards and henchmen and stuff. Not some overarching or something without motivation like a meteorite. Like,
yeah. Because
there's the potential for like tension there, but it doesn't have any motivation. There's nothing to it. It just does what it does.
Right. It just kind of is.
Yeah. So I don't know. I enjoy the bits of this podcast that are still comedy, but I feel like the whole, I'm kind of over it. Like the story aspect of it. I feel like it hasn't delivered enough for me to be invested in these characters. Especially, and it'll be interesting to see how Duck gets played, because, like, his calm, cool collectiveness and thoughtfulness, like, I hope his thoughtfulness stays throughout, even with his new character, or new archetype, of things like, no, I'm not gonna start a fire in the forest, that's stupid, or throwing the gun at the bear instead of,
yeah,
things like that. So, I don't know, I don't know. Cautiously optimistic is probably too positive.
Maybe just cautious. Good.
Yeah, just cautious. I'm gonna say I'm cautiously optimistic going into the next let's call it the back half of Amnesty.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they take this maybe break and moments to reset, refocus, and we come in with maybe a better sense of purpose to their storytelling, and maybe if they took some time over the break to all get on the same page, we'll get a little more cohesiveness from the way they're approaching the arc. So I'm going to try to stay excited about what's happening. I just, I have the concerns that we've laid out, but I think it can get good still.
And so I have those concerns too, but I think I fall in the optimistic category where...
Optimistic and cautious are not antonyms.
But he's wholeheartedly optimistic.
But yes, I'm farther towards the optimistic side if this is a gradient.
It's not.
Where it goes like negative 100 to 100 when zero's in the middle.
Is that how gradients work?
It is now.
Such a
reckless, nerd. Recklessly is the word I was trying to think of for
Fine,
you. Recklessly optimistic.
I am recklessly optimistic. Where I'm going to drive this car towards the wall at a really high speed and hope the wall disappears.
Boy, your concerns are a wall. Oof. I think I'm just kind of like indifferent. I'm just kind of coasting.
I enjoy this, and I enjoy getting to listen to them figure things out together, and there were some really great moments this episode where they all sort of reacted together and learned and developed. And so I think that as we move forward, there should be some really cool stuff for that.
We never talked about the big cat.
Oh, and how they completely botched Merle's Nerf gun?
Yeah.
You don't get to lose magic, and then it still turns into a laser gun. If it is drain life, it means you're going to shoot something with a Nerf pellet and drain as exactly much life as that damages.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they... that was the trade that you made, not you suddenly get a laser beam.
Well, and it was weird that you can't affix more than one tag to a weapon. Like, this is all funny money bullshit anyway. Like, this... Heathcliff is not part of the system.
Right, yeah. So why try to hold on to those rules?
Yeah, why are you gonna, like, just let him fuck shit up? But Doc not knowing what he was gonna get, and then just saying helmet?
Very good.
Very good. Very good.
I really wish it was just like a peewee hockey helmet.
I agree. What did they describe what it looked like? I don't
remember. It's a skating helmet.
Yeah, it's
for a skateboard.
Boring skate helmet.
He skateboards to work now.
I will say this, I really wanted him to pull out a Razor scooter from the back of the bus. I think a Razor scooter would have been choice.
And he has to lose a health every time he hits his ankles with it?
Yeah, every time he tries to do a, whatever the fucking spin move is, and he hits himself like a skip it.
Hit the one trick that there is on Razor scooters.
Right. Yeah, yeah, the one thing they can do.
All right, well, seems like Colin and I are kind of down on this, but Jake's going to buoy us through the next hunt,
I hope. You're cautiously optimistic.
That's what I said. Those are my words. We'll see how it goes. But we hope our listeners are excited, and I hope our listeners are excited to listen to us. Sorry we're late again, but I was out of the country, and it's, boy, time zones, man. They fuck you up real bad. But thank you everyone for joining us again for our discussions. We'll be back on our regular schedule, assuming the McElroys keep to theirs. And we are so glad you are able to join us. We want to give a big thanks to The Early for our intro and outro music. And want to ask you to please go and rate and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or your podcaster of choice. Every rating you give us is a huge help to get us out into the world. And please talk to us on Twitter at @WeDoThat_pod. We want to know how you're feeling as we hit the halfway point. If you have any longer form thoughts, you could always email us at WeDoThat@gmail.com. And we want to know, are you excited for the back half? Or are you hoping the wall doesn't move and maybe it'll all just end? It's a little dark, but I know some people are frustrated. Bye, everybody.